to do for Jesus Christ.
We traveled around and played music in churches, but also in at fairs and a lot of secular areas as well. And our whole goal was to bring, ultimately bring Jesus to people, but we did it in the form of family entertainment. You know, it was just such a normal part of my life back then that I didn't know and didn't realize how important it is even right now. Like, even more important, 2024, for there to be families in the limelight, for people to see that families are good, right? Because we live in a weird time where families are being talked about as if you should only have one kid. You can't afford any more kids, you know? So with that, I have 8 kids. So I took that to a serious level. But anyway, so that's what I did. And then after that, I kind of fell away from the Lord, and I won't get into my testimony necessarily, but I did find Jesus again. And when I did, I changed my whole life, and I was always doing music, producing and touring. And then I ended up starting to do producing and touring for Jesus. And that's what I did. I switched it around. And then we ended up becoming missionaries. We lived in Italy for a little while. And I've been to 38 countries sharing Jesus with people. And I'm constantly doing that. So later on, I think there's going to be a love offering of some sort. But that's what that's going to go towards, is basically all my missions work that I do. I'm going to Costa Rica in September, going to the Basque people, if anybody ever heard of the Basque people. It's in Spain. It's a people group that technically don't exist, but they're like 8 million of them. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And they do not, literally they have like a 1,000 Christians. The number is so low. I'm not even like joking. 1,000 Christians. They've never had a song written or ever translated into Basque language. And so it's just God is going to have us go there, and going to Belize in February. So anyway, I do missions, I share Jesus, and I also train worship leaders and worship songwriters to write songs about Jesus. So that's what I do, and then sometimes get to preach once in a while. So that's what I'm going to do today. All right, guys, you guys love the Word of God? Okay, cool. Get out your Bible, and let's read the word for today. It's going to be Luke 8, verses 4 through 8. And this is a very popular parable to teach, but this happens to be in my personal reading, and so God said, preach it. All right, let's read. It says, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears hear, let him hear.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you breathed this word for us. Lord, this is something not only for those that you were preaching it to back then or sharing it with back then, but it's for us just as much. And so, Lord, be the lamp into our feet today and reveal. We love you. Amen. All right, guys. So, I've heard this preached many times, okay? And when you hear this preached, I'm just going to sum it up for a moment, and the summing up basically is you need to be sharing. Okay, well, first of all, who's the sower? Well, no, we are all the sowers. That's what we are. We have the Word of God. We've been shared the gospel to us. We've said yes to Jesus. We've been given the Word of God to read, and we get to now go and sow seeds. So it's anybody who shares the gospel. Anybody who is a Christian should be sharing the gospel. So we all are sowers. So let's just get that out of the gate, okay? We are all, this applies to every single one of us, even the little ones, even the ones that are sleeping over here. Just joking. I have 8 kids, okay? Mine would be sleeping too, so. Okay. Anyway, so normally when you hear this preached, which is totally a good, it totally is exactly what it is meant to be taught to. There's 2 ways that you can look at this, but one way is going to be that you don't really have a lot of control over where you're sowing. You just have to sow it, okay? And that's good. It's good to know. It's good to know that your work is not in vain. That when you share the word with your kids, or when you share the word of God with friends, or when you see somebody in the store, when you see somebody at the coffee shop, or the, you know, wherever you're at, and you actually get a chance to share Jesus with them, or even use a scripture to encourage them with something, right? That is ultimately God who is going to sow it in the right places, okay? And that's good. It's good. But I want to challenge us with something. Who is the sower? We've already said that. Anyone who shares the word of God. But who is the soil? What's the soil? I think that's what I want to ask the question. What's the soil, ultimately? Is church a soil? Okay. What's interesting is that I don't know if Jesus was actually saying that church is a soil. Okay. I suppose that church could be a form of soil, because we have people that come in that don't know Jesus and they come into church for some reason. You invite your friends. By the way, if you're not inviting your friends, you need to invite your friends. Okay? So, I suppose that it could be a soil. But I don't think Jesus had the intention to teach that. I actually think he had an intention to teach that the soil is in other places. Where do you think that is? Okay, our hearts, the world, okay? What about our homes, our families, our kids, those of you that are grandparents, your grandkids and your kids, right? Our soil, the soil, I'm going to really dive into kind of the home and the family a little bit today. Because what happens is when you have this thought that we don't really have control over where or of what the soil is that we're sowing it in, so that's up to God. And that's good to know, because we have to trust God 100%. I believe in sovereignty. God does do whatever he wants to do, and he's preparing people's hearts, right? Okay? But actually, when you look at so many other places in the Bible, it talks about how we are harvesters, that we are actually supposed to toil the ground. We're supposed to take care of it. I mean, you guys live in Arizona. I don't know exactly what your guys is. Those of you that try to garden here, I don't know how you do it, because the sun probably burns it up. Okay, but I live in a place in Washington. I live on the east side of Washington. I live in a high desert area, but it also has this a lot of farms and a lot of places, so the crops are really good there. But the thing is it has this rich soil in there, but you have to work really hard to get to that rich soil. It's not easy to get there. And so this parable actually connects very much with everybody I know that tries to garden and farm in the areas that I live. Because the reality is that there are rocks and there are thorns, there are weeds, and so the reality is that soil is actually something we have to work on too. So yes, God prepares the way, we share the gospel, we share the word of God, and yes, he ultimately has control on exactly where that seed's going to go. But I want to just really hit home that we actually have agency in cleaning and really purifying soil. Okay? So let's look at this. Let's look at the pathway. Well, actually, I have a few more things to say before we do that. Sorry. I want you to notice in this scripture that we did read that there's moments where it says grew and grew up, right? We talked about how and this we put the seed in the rocky soil and it grew, but then it was choked out or it didn't have moisture or whatever. Everything is about growing. And I want you to think about this is that we as parents, as grandparents, we do have a responsibility to grow our kids, right? The Lord is going to grow our kids too, but he's given us that responsibility to water it, to clean the soil, to trim where it needs to be trimmed. By the way, trimming really sucks sometimes. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said sucks, but it's really hard. It's hard to tell your kids to not do things, right? You know, but like that is a responsibility that we have, right? And I even think as grandparents with your older kids, you also need to encourage them and try to help them form into a healthy place too, because they are continuing on your generations and your generations and your generations, right? So this is more than just parents. I just want to make sure that's important to know. So growing is very important. And if we look at it this way, our homes are probably the most important soil that needs to be the good soil. Not what we look like when we go to church, or what we look like to the community, or how successful our jobs are, our finances, or how far our kids get into sports, dance, music, whatever, okay? Do our kids want to be home, and do they feel enriched in that home? Do your older kids want to come to Thanksgiving or spend time with you or actually enjoy your company, okay? And not just enjoy your company because you let them do whatever they want to do and not say anything, but that they actually feel like they're being exhorted and ministered to, okay? And don't get me wrong, like I have a couple adults, but they're still living at my home. So I don't know yet what it's like to have them away. I don't think I know everything, but I just want to make sure you guys know that, okay? But I do know that it is important that in our homes and with our families, when we look at the seed is the Word of God, right? The seed is, because it actually says later on in that chapter, it says the seed is Word of God. So that's how we know it's the Word of God. And it said, but we need to be a place. Our homes, the environment in which we interact with people, with our families especially. We need to use the Word of God as a piece of exhorting, encouraging, correcting, and discipline. It needs to be that, okay? And this is how we know it's important, is in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." He's talking to Timothy. Paul is talking to Timothy, giving Timothy his mantle of ministry. This is a big deal. Paul is he's written so many books of the Bible. He is incredible, right? That's, we look up to Paul in a lot of ways. And yeah, just imagine being the next person, the next Paul. That's ridiculous, right? That's scary. And this is what he says, "Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Okay. I have 8 kids, as I said, and yes, we believe in spanking, okay, so all that. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta spank a kid, okay? But I will say the spanking's not always gonna be my first thing I go to, okay? I just wanna say that. What's gonna be the first thing I go to is the Word of God. I really will. And I really do practice what I'm preaching right now. And I will tell you how many times the Word of God really does correct. Because I can spank them, right? And I can tell them, don't do that. And I say, don't do that. And so they will figure out, okay, well, I can't punch my sister, but I can slap my sister because I can't do that, right? And I mean, I'm being ridiculous, but let's just be honest. We're seeing grown adults in the world right now doing this. Oh, I can't do this, but I can do this. I can change who I am. I can, you know, whatever, okay? I'm not going to get into all that. But that is because of, I think, they, you know, I'm not saying it's just a product of spanking, but it's just not really being clear on what exactly we are wanting them to change. If the Bible, if the Word of God is reproof and correction and all these things, then we need to be using this as our parenting skills. Which means you need to probably learn the Bible. Challenge accepted, hopefully, okay? Learn the Bible because the Bible will change the way that you interact with everyone, but especially your kids, okay? So let's look at the different soils, and let's try to understand why this is so important that our families and that we actually have agency to fix and make the soil good. Because I don't want to just share the Word of God with my kids and think, well, I'm good luck. Maybe one of them will say yes to Jesus, maybe one of them won't. No, I don't want that. I want every single one of them, right? I mean, let's just be honest. We don't want two of them to go wayward. We don't want that. We want all of them to love Jesus with all their heart and teach their kids about Jesus and teach their kids about Jesus because that's what's going to change the world. Okay, so let's look at these soils. First off, it says the pathway. This is the only ground that is not truly considered a soil, so I'm not going to call it a soil. It's a ground. This, to me, are the moments where we share the gospel with those in the community, amongst our life, grocery store baristas, soccer games, baseball, public assemblies. This is where we need to be sharing the Word of God, but I don't know if we really do have the control on whether or not it's going to take root, because we have no control over what the pathway is going to be like, okay? This is what it says later on in Luke. It says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Okay, there's a couple ways to look at this. I'm just going to go continuously with what I've been teaching. And really what it is that if you share with somebody at the store or someone you have no relationship with, okay, if you do that, it's not that I think that instantly the devil's going to take it away, but you are only this much of an influence in their life. And so there is so much more that God needs to put people in their life in order for that soil to be healthy and not be a pathway. So that's the way that I look at it, is that we need to be doing it. We need to be sharing the gospel with people, and obviously. But that really is not in our control. We just need to do it. And if other people are not doing it, see, I count on when I go to the gas station down the street to get my gas on my way back to the airport, I'm counting on if I share Jesus with them, that one of y'all is going to also share Jesus with them. And maybe 100 of y'all are going to share Jesus, right? Because if that happens, then that soil becomes a lot more, that's fertilizer for the soil, let's just say, okay? And so I'm going to leave that one be on that. But let's look at the rocky soil. So this is actually soil. This is what it says, the verses that we read today. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Later on in Luke 8, it says, Jesus basically does an explanation of the parable himself. And he says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And here's the deal. I'll just be honest, that was me. I was the rocky soil. I I think I received it with joy. My parents say that I said yes to Jesus when I was three, when I watched Jesus be crucified during a drama, and that I just cried and I wanted to know Jesus in that way. And I do believe I had joy. I took it, right? But I had rocks in my life, lots and lots of rocks. So let's talk about this. Received with joy, but had no moisture. That's kind of what it's saying here. So what we need to do is we need to take the time to take the rocks out of your home, out of your family, out of your own life too, by the way. You have to take the time to take the rocks. So let's talk about what the rocks are. These to me are barriers that allow it. These are the barriers that don't allow it to take root ultimately. So again, going with the soil in my own backyard, we're trying to grow cucumbers and all kinds of things, right? And I mean, the joke is that we've been trying for 5 years. So because we just never, we feel like we never get it. But what happens is when you dig into our soil, there's a ton of rocks everywhere. And so we have to get the rocks out. We have to add fertilizer. We have to aerate it and all these different things you have to do, right? And so what you have to do with your own life, with your own family, again, everyone that is in your life that you have some influence, is you need to encourage rocks to come out of their life. So what is it? Barriers. What these barriers are, what these rocks are, I think it looks like hypocrisy in some ways. I'm going to challenge you guys. Teaching your home one thing. Teaching your kids that you should not watch this one thing, or you shouldn't do this one thing, or say this one word, say these kinds of words, and yet you get a pass to do whatever you want. They can't do it, but you can, right? That's a big old honking rock in your soil. Okay? Or saying that you will be limiting this in your home, or that you know, certain kinds of music is you know, this was a thing in our home, okay? We had certain kind of music that I probably shouldn't listen to. Smashing Pumpkins, okay? I'll just be really honest. And don't get me wrong, there's one song that has the F word in it, okay? I understand that. Probably a lot more than that, but this one song specific. But then we would be in the car and listening to a song that goes, "She's a rich girl, and it's all fine." Okay, there's a big old cuss word in that one too. Okay, I'm just going to say that it's so funny that my parents are here because I have to do this in front of them. But the reality is that was definitely hypocrisy, okay? And it's a funny hypocrisy because, to be honest, I do it all the time too. I love my music as well. And I'm not saying that I only Christian music and it can only be, and it can't be this and it can't be, you know. There's freedom, right? There's liberty in the Lord. And we need to understand that we cannot let these be only rules and regulations in our life and law. We can't do that. But we do need to realize where we are being hypocritical. Right, and so that is, to me, the rocks. Stop doing that. Stop being hypocritical. Be honest with yourself. If you don't want your kids to say this thing or watch this thing, you probably shouldn't watch it yourself. You probably shouldn't do it yourself. I have a really quick example of this that I'm really saddened by, I'll be honest. So when I was younger, so I had a kid when I was 17, so I was a very young father. We were married when I was 18, and I loved to watch zombie movies, okay? And there is my son, he's 24 now, or almost 24 now, and he shares with me still to this day, he's like, "Dad, at like, you know, when I was 5 years old, I came down and I saw you guys watching a zombie movie, and I couldn't sleep for months." And my heart was so... Like, he didn't tell me this at this time, or at that time, but he tells me later on. I was like, "Man, I don't love zombie movies that much." you know, that I would literally scare my kids half to death, you know? And so, like, but here's the deal is, no, did it completely screw him up? No, he still loves Jesus, and he goes to GCU, actually, and he's going to be a doctor, and he's great. He's great. And he loves kids, and he hates zombie movies, okay? Okay, so we're not going to be perfect, but we need to realize where, when we say we're going to do something and when we feel convicted, that's a big thing, when we feel convicted that we shouldn't do something, we should be consistent and stay with that, okay? Okay, let's look at the thorny soil. It says in Luke 8:7 where we read, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Later on, Jesus explains this and says, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So we kind of already talked about this, but bad influences, which can be you, by the way, okay, let's just be honest, you can be a bad influence on your own kid or your own, your grandkids or your grown kids because, you know, we can have bad attitudes and we can whine, okay? By the way, 60-year-olds whine too, okay? We're all little kids sometimes, and we whine, and we don't forgive, and we hold anger and hatred, and we do. That's what we do, because we are fallen and messed up, and we need to be refined more and more and more every day. Amen? Just believe that? All right, so bad influences are like weeds and thorns. Even good distractions are like a blackberry bush. We love blackberries. But if anybody has a blackberry bush in their backyard and they don't do something about it, it takes and consumes your whole backyard. Okay? Blackberry bushes are nice, but they're not. They're weeds. They're thorns. Legitimate. I made a joke earlier today with my family, but every year when the spring comes, and now it's time for us to water our yard, and our yard wakes up, okay? You guys don't even have yards here, so whatever. But anyway, our grass comes. But it always looks really nice in the beginning. The reason why is because there's little purple flowers everywhere and little white flowers and little yellow flowers everywhere. And then you realize, oh, wait, these are bad. And then you go and kill them, and then you realize your grass is literally patchy and absolutely ugly. And that's kind of the reality of weeds, is that sometimes they can look really pretty at first. Sometimes you can let it go, and it's totally fine. But when you do that, eventually it takes over, right? So our home and family needs to be considered a sacred place, needs to be considered a place where those kinds of weeds and distractions and things need to be uprooted. They need to be taken out. We need to spray some stuff that's going to kill it, okay? It deserves our attention is something I wrote down. At the very least, guys, it deserves our attention. You're never going to have a perfect yard. You're never going to have a perfect family, guys. You won't, even as much as you want to and as hard as you work on it. And I know I have a couple friends that are, you know, older, and they all their kids have moved out, and they honestly say, man, we really tried hard to have our family and for my kids to love Jesus, and some of them don't. And some of that is just out of your control for sure, because they also are in charge of uprooting things in their own life too, right? So it's not just you. I'm not just putting that all on everybody, but it deserves our attention, right? Our kids deserve our attention, our families, our parents. By the way, those of you that are older, we all have parents, right? You've all been born at some point, right? Okay, so we all are parents, or we all have parents, and depending on how old your parents are, I know, because we've seen some my grandmas pass away recently, right? And I know that that my parents have had to minister to her, to their parents, and actually probably help them uproot some things too and remind them of the gospel And so this happens in every age group. I keep on trying to use this example. So here's some examples of things that you need to uproot, right? Kids will bring home words, questions, attitudes, really, etc. They bring it home, and it deserves our attention. Don't just let those attitudes go. Don't just let words go. And I'm not just saying the four-letter words. I'm saying a lot of other things. There could be lots of different kinds of words and different kinds of, as we know, ideologies that come home from school if they're going to school. But guys, I homeschool, and my kids still come with these ideologies sometimes, and they come home, and I don't know. My wife is their teacher, and she's amazing, and yet there's somehow media and different things teach us and teach our kids things, right? By the way, they teach you too. They do. Man, here's the deal. I don't want to get into any political things at all. But all I'm going to say is that if you only watch Fox News, if you only watch Fox News, and that's all you watch, you're going to be sucked into one view. Now, regardless if you think that one view is right, you probably are seeing some of the blind spots that this one side is having. And I do not think that you need to watch the other side only. You need to get a balance, right? So it's kind of a similar thing. We need to make sure that the ideologies and the words we use and the things that we say and the way that we treat our family is not what the world teaches, but it's what God teaches, right? So let's look at the good soil. And I'm going to end here. So in this parable, it gives us four different things, right? The pathway, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the good soil. It's as if, and this is just trying to make my point, it's as if all four of these exist and we have no control over these existing, right? But I really do believe that God gives us the tools through his word to make a good soil in our homes, to make a good soil in our heart, so that when seeds of things from the Lord come to us, it can come to fruition. And then what I love it is it says, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. See, we're not just existing to just hopefully make it into heaven. Guys, we cannot have our only theology be, oh, I just hope I get to heaven, right? Heaven's wonderful. It's going to be incredible. But I'm telling you, like, we need to 100-fold on this earth. Amen? 100-fold on this earth, because what happens is that we have a lack of 100-fold right now, and our country is falling into shambles. We need Christian families to have Christian families to have Christian families to have Christian families, and healthy ones too. And we need to have, ultimately, we need to have pastors that are not falling and screwing up all the time. We need this. I need to say that about them, because we need to, like, just state the obvious that they are not special, that they're just as much sinners as anybody else, right? One, we need to stop viewing them as being more special than other people, but they also need to stop viewing themselves as special, right? So the reality is that the 100-fold starts in the home, not in your public ministry, not in your public things. It's the things that happen in your secret place, in your moments of brokenness at home, is what's going to change your life, right? So we need a good soil. Jesus says this about the good soil. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. 100-fold, but it takes patience. We need to be praying for 100-fold. We need to be praying that literally we have the most, like, we need to have the most amazing apple tree in our backyard, but you need to make sure that the apple tree is not just for you to consume, but ultimately that you have so many apples that the whole community comes and eats your apples. That's 100-fold, right? That is what we need. But it takes patience, right? So this is my last statement, and then I'm going to give a moment, you know, basically for people to respond to this, you know, however you want to respond. We'll talk about it in a minute. To have good soil, it takes patience. We have to give our kids, our wives, our husbands, our parents, the time it takes to be healthy and good soil. We need to be honest and good-hearted. In Greek, honesty and good-hearted is actually translated another way. It could be translated as noble, honorable, and virtuous. We don't use these words very often. I want to be known to my kids, to my wife, to others around me as a noble person, as a virtuous person, as an honorable person. I want to honor people. I don't want to be a slanderous person. I don't want to be somebody who comes home from work and talk about how bad people are at work. I don't want to be that person. Don't bring that home, guys. Husbands, do not bring that home. Your wife's not going to like it. Ultimately, she hates somebody she doesn't even know. And that's wrong. You've implanted sin into somebody she has no reason to hate, you know? So that's just one example. But we just got to keep this in mind that we need to be noble, honorable, virtuous. These are big words and high callings. Our kids will only be this way, and that's every age group. Our kids will only be this way if we model it and teach it. There's this lady who's 95 at my church, okay? And every single Wednesday night, we do a worship night. Well, we do, like, longer worship, and then we do, like, a message. But what we always do is we do a little moment of prayer time where people can share prayer requests. And her prayer request is always, we need to pray for the whole world. She stands up, too, 95 years old. Pray for the whole world. And she yells it. And it's so awesome. And every single Wednesday night that I'm leading it, I almost always say, I want to be like Dolores when I grow up. And the reality is that you guys that are in your older age, you need to continue to model a noble, a virtuous, an honorable life. Because if you do that, your kids and your friends and other people in your life that see you will look up to you. They're not done growing, guys. They're not done. We're not done until we've persevered and we've made it all the way, right? And so we need to continue to grow. We need to have those to look up to. We need fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmas and great-grandpas. We need that in our life. And I'm not just talking about blood ones. I'm talking about those. You guys are family church, right? Okay, you guys are family church. All of you guys are family with each other, right? So that's another thing is that we need, because we want 100-fold. Right? Your church wants 100-fold. We want to change the world from the inside out. That's what we have to do, right? So I'm not going to do like an altar call or anything, but what I am going to do is I'm just going to give you guys a moment. I want to pray for some of you, okay? I just want to pray for some of you. I don't want to pray for you. I want your family to pray for you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to kind of close in prayer. But then in the middle of that prayer, or at the end of the prayer, I'm going to have you guys raise your hand. And if you feel like you need prayer for these things to happen in your life, and you just feel convicted by this, I want you to raise your hand. And it's okay. No shame. No shame. And literally, I want people to gather around each other and pray for them. Because we're family, right? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. God, there's a huge need. And that need is that we need this. We have the seed. We have the seed. But we need the soil to be healthy so it grows. We want to be healthy plants. We want to be healthy trees, healthy bushes. We want to be a healthy crop that wields hundreds and hundreds fold. We want to see this world changed, but we know the only way it is changed is if we are changed, is if our family's changed, which means it deserves attention. So I pray, Lord, that you will encourage us, that you'll challenge us today, Lord, and that ultimately you will, your presence will be implanted into our lives, your spirit will cultivate and fertilize and purify, rip out rocks and rip out weeds. And Lord, that we will be the healthy soil that I know you want us to be, because you want every single person on this earth saved. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, if you'd like to be prayed for, raise your hand, and let's gather around. Guys, raise your hand. If you feel like your family or you need prayer for this, raise your hand. No shame, guys. Great. Okay. Guys, gather around this guy right here and this family right here and go pray for him. Maybe this is not a normal culture for you guys, but we do this all the time. We pray this. So, yeah. Go gather around, because anybody else here that needs prayer for this? Young moms and young dads, I know you need prayer for this. Okay? Right here. Okay. We're praying for her now. Let's gather around.